It is Thursday. That means it is podcast day. So welcome. This is episode number 280 of Shut Up and Grind. 20 episodes away from hitting 300. Who would have thought? I thought, damn it. All right. So if you're brand new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles. We're all about defying the odds and helping you. Why am I so close? Like, I feel like I'm closer than normal. Am I? Maybe not. All right. Sorry. I cut myself off. So helping you clear whatever is blocking your path to whatever success you want to have in this lifetime. So if you're joining me on my Facebook pages, please like and share. If you're joining me on LinkedIn, first, welcome. I just started. I think this is my sixth episode since I started streaming on LinkedIn, and it's going pretty well over there. So if you're joining me over there again, please like and share. Give me a follow if you haven't followed me yet. And I think that's it for promotions. Yes. All right. So today we're going to be talking about navigating life while grieving. So my guest, if you caught the last panel, she was a panelist on there and she always gives great words of wisdom. I love speaking with her. So let's welcome back Emily.
Aloha.
I forgot how to pronounce your last name.
Thoreau Threat.
All right. Damn it. I knew I should have asked. So how's everything going?
Great.
Awesome. And you're in Hawaii, right?
That's right. I live on Maui.
Boy, oh boy. What's the weather like over there nowadays?
Well, it's beautiful, except with the eruption yesterday on the next island over. We've got some what they call VOG, which is the volcano.
Okay.
Stuff that comes over this direction.
Stuff. Yeah, we have our share of haze going on here with those fires in Canada. Like it's actually affecting us down here in Rhode Island. Like the air quality two days ago was awful.
Wow.
Absolutely awful. All right. So let's dive in. So give us a refresher of who you are, what you do, and a little bit of your backstory.
I'd be happy to. I've got kind of a scratchy voice. Please forgive me for that. Getting over a cold. I have been a writer for most of my life. I've taught writing at the university level for many, many years. So after I had two husbands die, I started writing to help me. And that led me to a great adventure in finding my life's purpose of helping others who are dealing with grief and loss deal with the grief and be able to be happy at the same time. And I've written two books. One of them is Loving and Living Your Way Through Grief, which you can get now. And the other one launches on July the 7th. And you can get a free copy that day if you download it on Amazon that day. And it's called The Grief and Happiness Handbook, which is being put out by the Grief and Happiness Alliance nonprofit organization, which was founded to support the Grief and Happiness Alliance, which is a weekly meeting on Zoom for anybody who's dealing with grief and loss, to come together and write together and then learn happiness practices every week. So, and I have my own podcast, Grief and Happiness. So that's what I do.
Love it. So you said, you know, teaching people how to deal with grief and be happy. So how do you help people find that boundary? Because some people I hear that they feel guilty if they're happy while they're grieving. So how do you help people navigate that?
That's kind of from either listening to people that you don't need to listen to or convincing yourself that it's not okay for you to be okay. And it's okay. Generally, in really early grief, it takes a while of kind of going inside and just adjusting to what's your new normal, actually. But once you start feeling like you're ready to kind of start opening back up to the world again, then there's lots of things that you can do actively that can really help you. As I mentioned, I had two husbands die, and after the first one died, I spent a whole lot of time sitting by myself. I just didn't talk. It was even hard to think at that point because I just felt lost, and it was very, very difficult. And I finally came through that and got to the point where I could socialize again. It took me about a year to really feel comfortable being around other people. So when my last husband died, I said, I'm not going to do it that way again. That was miserable. Not only for me, but anybody who did get the chance to be around me, which wasn't very many people. So I set out to find out what would support me through my grief this time and help me to feel better. So I turned to writing because that's what I do. And I wasn't writing for anybody else to read. I was just writing to explore my thoughts because I discovered, and you'll probably discover too, if you just let your thoughts bounce around in your head, they're just going to keep bouncing around in your head.
Yep.
And it's really hard to deal with them. But when you start writing them down, then you can kind of look at them from a different perspective. And the more I did that, the stronger I became. And I was finding ways in doing that writing that was helping me to feel so much better that I decided I wanted to share that. And that's how I got to the point where I started teaching people how to write through their grief, and found that that was a really good way to help me work my way through grief. And the people that have been coming to the Grief and Happiness Alliance and working with me have discovered that it's very helpful for them too. And I love the meetings, because at the end of the meeting each week, everybody's smiling. Mm-hmm. And when you're working with a group of people who are grieving, that doesn't usually happen. So I think we're doing something right.
See, and I like, you know, the title of your book, you know, Loving and Living Your Way Through Grief, because the grief, it never fully goes away. Right. And we experienced that just this morning. I was talking to my mother. She was sitting out on the deck. And as we were conversing, I put my foot up on one of the steps. And she just got glassy-eyed. And I was like, what? And she's like, your father always did that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like just that one little thing. And it just choked her right up. You know, so again, we just started, you know, sharing stories about him again. Because very similar to you, but I just did it with speaking. It's like I would just, if no one was here, I would just turn on either my camera phone, or I have a voice recorder, and I would just speak what was on my mind and then just play it back. And then from that, I actually used my own words to come up with podcast episodes or just content, just to help people find their outlet. Like your outlet was writing, my outlet was speaking. For some people, it could be blogging or vlogging. It could be making crafts, just whatever your positive outlet is. Because too many times people are turning to the negative outlets, which are alcohol and drugs and smoking marijuana, you know, just doing other things to just mask the pain rather than facing the pain head on.
I agree with you. That's really the way it is. And for me, writing works because that's what kind of comes natural to me, where you're a talker.
Yep.
And so it's logical for you to be recording your words. And that's the thing, is to be able to talk your story, but tell your story in some way or another. And it could be, like you said this morning, just sharing these things with your mom. What a wonderful thing to do.
Yes.
When you can do that. But you'll find if you don't record them in some way, then it's not going to, you're going to keep going over and over it again. Mm-hmm. And instead of dealing with it. And you mentioned like arts and crafts and things. That's a really good way too. I discovered once I started doing my podcast, I discovered a wonderful artist who helps people through grief with art. And I could really get lost in one of her lessons with one that I did. I didn't think I could draw a person. Mm-hmm. And I was able to draw a picture of my husband that I was so pleased with. And it really helped me feel closer to him, to be able to kind of talk to him in the process. I'd go, oh, you wouldn't want it to look like that. You know, better adjust that, or whatever it was. So there's lots of different ways to do this. The thing is to deal with it instead of blocking it out. And you mentioned blocking it out with external things, but you can block it out yourself too. Yeah. By just not talking about it, not dealing with it. This happens a lot to people who have to go back to work right away after someone dies that they love, because they can't be at work like they could be if they were home or out on a walk or something. You have to kind of stuff it down. And that's really, really hard.
Yes.
So if you find yourself in that position, it's all the more important for you to find a way to express yourself away from work, so you're not just day after day stuffing it deeper and deeper until you get to the point where you break down or can't handle things. I've heard of lots of people actually quitting their jobs because they just couldn't stand to do it anymore. And it wasn't their job that was the problem. It was not being able to deal with their life while they were at work.
Yeah. See, so this goes back to what you said earlier too about listening to other people. It's like people mean well, but too many times people just tell you what to do. Like, and that doesn't work for everyone. You know, everyone is going to process differently. Like, again, when my father died, the way I processed was different from the way my brother processed, was different from the way my nephew or even my son and my daughter processed it. You know, it's like we're all different. We all have different personality types. We all have different stressors. You know, we all have different things that drive us positively. So you can't just, like, I just can't put what works for me on to my brother. It's like we are two different people. Like, I was already accepting that we were going to lose him before we lost him. Like just the situation, I was like, it's going to be really, really tough for him to come back from this. Just looking at it from a realistic lens. I was hopeful, and I was like, I was hopeful. But on the other side of it, had he survived, what was his quality of life going to be? You know, so like, that's where I can rest easy knowing that had he made it through, he would have been miserable. Cause in hindsight, 2020, speaking of 2020, because he died the tail end of 2019. So he would have gone into 2020 and he would have been going to the hospital by himself or in the nursing home by himself. And we all know what happened in the nursing homes. And so like, it could have just been so much worse had he survived, you know? So it's like, you try to just find, and again, this is what works for me. I try to find every little bit of silver lining to help deal with those days where, like, I just wish I could hear his voice again. But it's like, again, had he survived, like, he would have been so miserable.
That's right. And I'll do things, and I share the kinds of things that I do, not to encourage somebody else to do what I do, but to apply it to their lives and how it works for them.
Yes.
Like I was thinking about my husband Jacques the other day, because we did a lot of theater together. Mm-hmm. And we were just going through the theater experiences. And then this morning, somebody out of the blue sent me a text saying that they remembered the salad that we used to serve at the cafe that we had in the lobby of the theater. And she was just craving that salad because it was so good. She'd never had one like that before. And that got me thinking about Jacques and how he loved to come down in the daytime, because I was there all the time, it seemed like. So he'd come down for lunch and eat that salad. And it just was a pleasant thing. And it made me smile. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to have to make that salad again, because it was just really yummy. And it made me smile. Yes. So you can have different triggers and look for the positive triggers that can help bring just a pleasant little memory, like that memory I just told you. It's not going to matter to anybody else, but it made me feel good.
So my father was an engineer, right? So everything that this dude put together was like put together, right? So my mother got a new air conditioner. And she asked me to swap out the old one. Now, back at my old house, I could swap out an air conditioner in under probably 5 minutes, right? Really, really quick and easy. It took me 3 hours to swap these air conditioners. And so, like, my mother, she was cleaning someone's house, so she wasn't here. So I kept sending her little videos. I'm like, A, I can't stand your husband. I was like, it's been an hour, and I can't budge this thing yet. Because it was glued, it was foamed,
it was
screwed in. He had another lip. A lip of wood that he added onto it. Like, it wasn't just pop out a couple screws and you swap. This thing was heavily armored. Like, it literally took me 3 hours. I had my mother in stitches with my videos. And even once my daughter woke up, she comes out and I was like, no, like, I am not in the mood. I can't stand your grandfather. I was like, I've been working at this thing for way too long. So I just wanted to take that situation and just have fun with it. But that was him. Everything that he touched was like perfection. You know, absolute perfection for him. For those of us that have to replace stuff, it's a nightmare. But, you know, again, just another one of those moments for us to reflect on and have just to have gratitude that we had him here.
Oh, yeah. That's so wonderful when you can have the everyday things, the things that meant something to you. Like right now in Hawaii, it seems to be butterfly season. And I've got one tree in my yard that the caterpillars like especially. And when I start seeing it has great big leaves. And when I start seeing the holes in the leaves, I thought the butterflies are coming. And whenever I see one of those butterflies, I remember how we used to sit outside. My husband Ron and I sat outside a lot of the time because he was pretty weak the last couple of years of his life. So we'd just spend time together talking or reading or doing things. And while we were sitting there, those butterflies would come and sit on him. And they didn't sit on me, but they'd come and like sit on his shoulder. And even if he was talking or moving around, the butterflies were just attracted to him. So this time of year, when I look out there and I see those butterflies, I always remember our conversations and how wonderful it was to get to spend that time together and have those conversations. So look for positive triggers, things that make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And if it's something that brings a tear or two, that's okay.
So if you could give three tips to help someone just navigate grief on a daily basis, like what are your top three tips?
Well, my number one tip is to express your gratitude and do it in a lot of ways. A lot of people say, oh, that's just a trend now that people are saying you got to be grateful for stuff. But it's not a trend. It's a lifestyle to be grateful. Yeah, yeah. It really is. And I've found that when I write in my journal every day, and I do that first thing when I wake up in the morning, I've got several things I'll write in my journal. One of them is to write at least three things I'm grateful for. And it's more than that. It's not like just I'm so grateful for the air I breathe. Well, why? Why does that make a difference? And I mentioned before we went on about how on the next island to me, we had the volcano erupt yesterday, and we've got something called VOG right now that makes it a little hard to breathe. And I saw yesterday on TV, New York City. Well, actually, I didn't see it because all I could see was orange. That was all that showed up in the picture because of the fires. So what that made me think of is, I'm grateful for the air I breathe. I'm glad I can breathe it comfortably. I'm sending out love to people who are dealing with the smoke issues all over the country, and focus on the positive part of it, which makes me, on days when it is clear, which is most of the time here, mm-hmm. One of the things I enjoy most about here, because I used to live in California before we moved here, and I didn't realize that I hadn't been seeing blue skies for a long time until I got here, and it's so blue. Yeah. So I'm grateful for that. And that has to do with what I breathe. So you put down why you're grateful, not just that you're grateful, but what makes you grateful in that situation. And the more you think about that, for me, I just keep having more things come up that I'm grateful for. And it's really kind of cool. Like my son for Valentine's Day, just gave me this mug. I don't know if you can read it. It says, my favorite child gave me this mug.
That's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, he gave me that and I love it because it's a thermal mug, so it keeps my tea hot. And I really like that. But he got it for me because my daughter gave me a mug for Christmas that has something written on it that I find hysterical, but I can't repeat out loud for people to hear. And he knows how much I enjoy that mug. So he gave me a mug and kind of competition to that. Well, that makes me smile. And I'm really happy that my kids do something like that.
Yes.
So finding the things that you're grateful for and expressing that gratitude. And if somebody does something for you, one of the things that I do, I work in my living room a lot because I'm on the computer and I've got a view that I just adore looking outside from there. I don't even have curtains on the back part of my house because it's just so beautiful to look outside. Mm-hmm. But I was in the daytime, have the curtains open at the front of the house too. So whenever anybody delivers something to the front porch, I can see them. It's like I'm really close to them. And I always say, thank you. And they look like they're really surprised. And some of them smile, some of them say, well, you're welcome. But it just feels good to put a little positivity in somebody else's life by doing something like that. That's another way of expressing gratitude.
Yes.
Another thing that I do with mentioning what I journal about, and every day I write down something that brought me joy the day before. And a lot of times people who are grieving go, nothing's bringing me joy. I'm grieving. But you can find something. Yeah. And the more you write down and express not just what it was, but why it made you happy, that kind of switches the switch in your brain toward that positivity side.
Yes.
And it's not disrespecting the person that you loved if it's not there. And it is a way to just feel good. And another thing that goes with that, you wanted three, is the third one is being mindful. Don't just do things by rote. A lot of times people complain about how they gain weight or they lose weight while they're grieving. And that's because they're not being mindful.
Yeah.
Because you can sit there and eat a whole bag of candy or a whole bag of potato chips, a big bag, without thinking about it. Just because you're trying to keep yourself occupied so that you're not going to be thinking about your grief all the time.
Yeah.
So if you're mindful and go, okay, what does feel good today? I'm grateful for that blue sky that I'd gotten used to not seeing. And I'm grateful for the incredible clouds I see out my window. I just am amazed by the clouds that I see here. And that makes me smile because it's so beautiful. These things don't cost anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's just recognizing that, there's a lot of good in your life. And when you focus all on the bad, that's what you're going to get. Where if you focus all on the good, that's what's going to come to you.
Yes. Yeah. I just want to touch on a couple of things that you said, like about being mindful, saying that's where surrounding yourself with the right people is key. Because mm-hmm. the right person will encourage you to not eat that full bag of candy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get those people that enable the behavior. Well, you're grieving. It's okay. It's like, no, like that's not good. It's not healthy for that person. And, you know, it takes people like us to step in and be like, no, like that's what I do as a fitness coach. It's like I'm constantly telling people, right, I don't want you to deprive yourself, but you can't gorge yourself. Mm-hmm. Like if you want pizza, find a place that does pizza by the slice. Because if you get an entire pizza, you're going to overeat.
Eat it.
Yeah. Right? It's like you're going to. So like mindful is everything. You know, and I'm glad you brought up fitness because I see that in every almost every consultation I do. Because most people don't come to me because they're feeling great about themselves. You know, a lot of times they are dealing with grief. They're dealing with stress, anxiety, switching careers. Like, you know, there's so many, you know, divorce. There's so many things that people go through. And that's one of the first things that I talk to them about before we even get to fitness. It's like, why are you here? It's like, what are you going through? It's like, what are you trying to work through? And we work on that mental piece before we even get to how many days a week and, you know, all that other stuff, because I know people aren't coming to me because they're on a high. It's like they typically come to me because they're on a low. And when I can get to the heart of what that low is, those are the people that go on to have the great transformations.
That's right. And I was just thinking, as you were saying that, with the people that you surround yourself with, after Ron, my most recent husband to die, passed, I started losing weight because I just wasn't eating that much. I wasn't paying attention to myself and paying attention to eating. But my neighbor noticed that I was losing weight, and she didn't tell me, well, you got to eat, or, you know, that sort of thing. What she would do was bring me food, and it'd just be a little something, like she made a pasta salad and brought over a serving of pasta salad for me. She said, I want you to try this. I tried something different. And so that it's not here, you've got to eat this because you're losing weight. It's that here I'm nurturing you. I'm, you know, that sort of a thing. So if you can watch other people, it feels really good when you help somebody else out in something like that. If you see somebody gaining weight, you can say, hey, let's go for a walk every day. It really would make me feel better, and I'm more likely to do it if I have a friend to walk with.
True.
So paying attention to others, it really can help you a lot, as well as helping the person you're paying attention to.
Absolutely. All right, give us some insights to your second book.
The second book is I think a kind of a fun book. At the end of every chapter, I've got like fill in the blanks things, like what your intention is, or that that's related to that subject. And there's a whole section on that on each one. And it's we've got 26 chapters. So there's 26 different things about grief, which is similar to my first book, which also had 26 chapters with 26 things about grief. And if you put the two books together, you've got a chapter a week for a year. So,
nice. I like it.
And each chapter in each book is different. And this one, the Grief and Happiness Alliance decided to actually publish it. They're arranging for the publication for it so that they can get all the proceeds from the book to finance the alliance, because we believe in this group, the nonprofit organization, that people who are dealing with grief shouldn't have to pay to get some help and get some comfort. And so that's why the nonprofit was established. And all the proceeds, all the profit from this book goes directly into the alliance to support the work that we're doing.
That's awesome.
So I'm really excited about that. And the other thing that's coming out at the same time as the book is a set of cards, which are the grief and happiness cards. And these cards are really, I think they're beautiful. When what inspired me to write my book to start off with was when a friend's husband died suddenly, that much younger than I am, and I was very concerned about her because her husband wasn't sick. You know, they were very, very active in their lives and what they did and everything. And just all of a sudden he's gone. And so I wrote her that first year, every week I wrote her a card and mailed it to her that was something that I was thinking about having to do with grief that would be supportive and positive for her. And so I always wanted to share that with more people. So when this book comes out, there are cards that you can get at the same time, or you can buy them totally separately. That there's 52 different cards. So you've got a different thought for each week during the year that you can just pull out of this beautiful little box that they designed to go with the cards. And on one side, it has that thought, whatever it is, something to, this is what I can deal with that week. And you can just pull them out. There's no particular order. You can pull out whichever one out of the box you want to. And the other side of the card has a photograph that I've taken on Maui of the nature things here, because it's so beautiful. And I can see looking at these pictures and just, you know, taking a deep breath, maybe meditate a little bit, just enjoy the beauty and think positively. So those cards are going to come out at the same time. And they're a wonderful thing for a person who's grieving to get for themselves. But it's also a great gift to give to somebody when somebody dies, because a lot of times we'll send flowers and flowers wilt in the first few days and then they're gone. True. Where these cards will support them for whenever they want to pull one of them out of the box, and they'll think of you and your support and concern and have something positive to think about by looking at them.
I love that. When do they come out? I
mean, July 7th.
Oh, nice. 7/7. Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very much. I got to get up to the school for track coaching.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, so just give us some final words, though, before we go.
Respect yourself by taking really good care of yourself when you're dealing with grief. That's the most important thing you can do, because you can manage everything else if you're okay by taking care of yourself.
Love it. Emily, thank you. And as you know, you are always welcome here. So I'm sure we'll cross paths again.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank you for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Aloha.
All right, aloha.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years' experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up.